The U.S. lobs another round of tariffs at China.
This trade friction is a wake-up call. You know, we actually need each other. It's like a husband and wife. You can quarrel, but you really cannot divorce.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Beijing has vowed to hit back against a new round of tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods imported to America. Those tariffs, announced by the Trump administration last night and slated to go into effect on Monday, are the biggest yet and cover nearly 6,000 goods, including handbags and textiles. The White House says these are a continued response to unfair trade practices. It's an issue that's long been raised by the American Chamber of Commerce in China, which represents 1,000 U.S. companies. Here's Alan Beebe, the organization's president.
Certainly, President Trump has raised the attention of the Chinese government and, in fact, of the whole world around this issue. So that, in our view, is a good thing to really raise this to the forefront. It's really how the tariffs are being used. It's a quite blunt instrument that impacts virtually all companies operating in China. We recently conducted a survey with our colleagues in Shanghai, as well as here in Beijing. And while companies are reconsidering manufacturing investments, their supply chains in China, only 6% expressed a consideration to move back to the U.S. Around one half felt that they were being impacted by these non-tariff barriers, whether those be slowed customs inspections, increased bureaucratic oversight and control on their operations in China.
Alan Beebe there. Meanwhile, the ongoing trade dispute is a topic of much discussion at the World Economic Forum in China this week. Wang Wao, founder and president of the Center for China and Globalization, a think tank that advises the Chinese government, says the tariffs have already hurt business confidence in both countries.
It hurts the world economy and the confidence of the world economy. I mean, China has many options, but I think, you know, this thing is very obvious. Even China is not fighting back. Trump is fighting back and it's fighting himself. Because whatever he's fighting on China is fighting on the U.S. I think that this trade friction is a wake-up call, I mean, to both sides, to show that how inseparable both sides. You know, we actually need each other. It's like a husband and wife, you can quarrel, but you really cannot divorce because you have children, right? Your children is all your babies, all the multinationals in both countries, all the investment being there, settled there for decades. So how can you really get that out overnight?
Wang Wei Ao. Let's do the numbers. Chinese shares ended the session higher as infrastructure stocks rallied. Analysts believe Beijing will step up investment in roads and railways to offset the impact of the latest tariff salvo. Meanwhile, the Chinese yuan edged down against the U.S. dollar. Now, there are just 6 months until Britain leaves the European Union. A major report today by the Migration Advisory Committee, commissioned by the government, recommends making it easier for highly skilled workers to come to the UK. That's as figures from Oxford Economics show European migrants living in the UK, compared to other adults, pay nearly $3,000 more to the public purse than they take out. The BBC's Danny Shaw has more.
The report says that after Brexit, the government should design a system where there is no preference for migrants from the EU over those from outside the union. But it calls for fewer restrictions for those who are highly skilled, such as doctors and engineers. The committee says the cap on highly skilled workers, which currently applies to non-EU migrants, should be lifted. And it says it should be made easier for medium-skilled workers like plumbers and electricians to come to the UK. Overall, the report found that while migration from the EU has had impacts, many were small in magnitude when set against other changes.
Danny Shaw. We're in the final months of 2018, and as winter creeps in, it's staying darker for longer. If you're like me, when our clocks fall backward, you look forward to getting that extra hour of sleep. There's always been some criticism of the change, though, and now the European Union is considering axing it altogether. Lisa Kramer is a professor of finance at the University of Toronto. She's in favor of scrapping time changes. She spent her career studying their impact on human behavior and financial markets.
Looking at a number of financial markets around the world, the aggregate losses were in the billions of dollars every time the clock changed. This surprisingly didn't just happen when people lost an hour of sleep, but it was also happening when people gained an hour of sleep, consistent with this idea that it's the disruption that's causing the cognitive problems. Even if individual investors are feeling the adverse effects, they may be more anxious and more risk-averse, and this could cause them either to be less interested in buying at a given price or more interested in selling. And combined, these effects can lead to markets dropping.
She says car accident rates also increase and worker productivity dips as the twice yearly changes come through. That's Lisa Kramer, a professor of finance at the University of Toronto. But David Pruau, author of Seize the Daylight, argues there are still advantages to the time change.
We extended daylight saving time by 1 month in the United States in 2007, and the Department of Energy found that that extension still saved some energy. I think that the current system is pretty good.
That's David Pruau. Now, I like the time change, but let me know what you think. I'm on Twitter, at Victoria Craig. Finally, President Trump touts Made in America. Now, Sotheby's is promoting Made in Britain. A Friday auction here in London will feature a pink portrait of the Queen, covered in Swarovski crystals, a Banksy print, and a sculpture of an English painter that even has fake teeth. Get your paddles ready. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.